You dollars, Ahmed Bey's 14B2 has the two dots, five lines up from the bottom.
14B1.
Okay, we'll start from 14B2 if you don't mind.
Okay, I'll have to turn the page. You're right.
Okay. So we have a machlokes between, in our Mishnah, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua about sap. Okay? Is sap subject to our law? Rabbi Eliezer holds it is. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Shamati, that there is no sap. He's the lashon in the Mishnah was he heard, right? It's an interesting language. Shamati, he heard. That'll come into focus later on in the Gemara, that the Gemara's going to notice that. The Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yosef Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan, wanted to say, and they were Rabbi Yochanan, a very interesting tsushtel, as they say, between the Machlokes and our Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon, of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and another Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim in another place. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua, Shnehim Omid Dover Echad, that according to my Dvar Torah here, it's going to come out that they both hold the same thing. Now, Antonino, it says over there in Shvius, that Rav Shimon Oimer, right, Shvius, 7-2, right? Rav Shimon says that Ein L'Ktaf Shvius, the Neishein Apri, that when it comes to balsam is made, is a certain spice which is made as an extract of the sap of the balsam tree. So the question is balsam subject to Shvius or not? So the Chacham holds it is. And Rav Shimon says, no, it's not considered a peri. Okay? So he calls it the resin. But the point is the same thing. The resin, sap, same idea. So it comes out a perfect alignment, right? Rav Shimon holds over there the sap is not a peri. And Rav Yeshua here in our Mishnah also says that the sap is not considered a pri and is not subject to arla. So let's say they said the same thing. That was what we left off with last time. So now we're going to continue on Tesvav and Aleph. The Gemara says no. First of all, the Gemara is now going to, before it gives us a logical reason why it's not true, the Gemara is going to first just give us the facts. And we find this in Lumdus all the time. Sometimes you try to be Masber or Rambam that he holds a certain Svara. But then when you look elsewhere, you see he doesn't passing like that Svara, so it can't be the Hezber. You know, so that kind of thing. This is actually the Yerushalmi does the same thing. Amar Abzeir Lubpanas. He says, no, come on to Taman Halacha Kerb Yeshua. Taman Nami Halacha Kerb Shimon. In other words, it could be agreed a bit. Maybe y'all could be agreed as a fact, but its bottom line is the question is a very simple question. The Mishnah in Shvius is Reb Shimon against the Tanakama, so the Tanakama is the Rabbim. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer. It's when you have a Machlokes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, we pass it to Rabbi Yeshua. So over there, we're going to pass it like the Tanakama of Shvius, and it's going to come out that balsam is subject to Shvius. And over here, we're going to pass it like Rabbi Yeshua, that balsam is not subject to Arla. So if you're going to make the two Machlokes telling one another, it's going to be a Stira Hilchasah Hilchasah. So that's the first question the Gemara says. It shows that your Dvar Torah of Pardes is not correct. Well, he was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, but he's asking Rabbi Pardes. It's not going to make sense. Next thing. Another proof. Amar Rabbi Yonah. V'dam yehi l'chol revia. Are all saps the same? In other words, now we're going to present a svara. Why? Balsam is different. Why? Because balsam, the sap of the balsam tree, that's its the whole product of the tree, the whole reason it's grown is for that sap. That's what it's grown for. There's no fruit on it. Therefore, there it's a very good svara to say that that is the fruit of the tree. Right? And that's why it would be subject to Shvius. Elon ain't a bottle of Gavas Sarafo, but if you have a fruit tree, which is the case of our Mishnah, which has Rabbi Lazar saying that sap is subject to Arla, but Rabbi Yeshua holds it's not subject to Arla. Rabbi Yeshua makes perfect sense because there's a pre to the tree, and that's obviously the ikkar, and therefore the sraf is not considered part of the prairie and is therefore not subject to arla.
I don't know, did you miss the one? I didn't hear it. Kata batalai de srafo.
I thought I read it.
No.
I'll read it again. I'm Rabbeinu. Kata batalai de srafo. That the balsam tree is subordinate to its sap, and Elon ain't a bottle of alcohol, it's not bottled to the sap.
When you say
bottle,
what does that mean?
It means that is it the main product of the tree. So if you have sap which is part of a fruit tree, it's bottled because the fruit tree, the fruits of the fruit tree are the main thing, and the sap is a very incidental. And so therefore it wouldn't be considered a prairie. Okay?
Sraffo, so what does
sraffo
mean?
It's a sap.
Sraffo means a
sraffo
sap.
Is sap. Yeah, sraffo is sap.
But we had another word for sap.
Yeah. I think it's in Pictum Haktoras, I think it says.
Yeah,
and sraff,
sure.
Yeah, and sraff, and it's a miyatse haktof, right?
Yeah.
So it's sap, yeah. Oichle behem, now the Gemara has another thing, another distinction. Okay, another distinction between Shvias, he was comparing Shvias, Shemitah, to the din of Arla. So he says, another difference is, a very general difference, is when it comes to Eichle Behema, it's subject to the Shemitah prohibition. But Arla, ain't Kedusha Arla, call out of him. Only on fruits, okay? So although Rabbi Yeshua excludes tree sap from Arla, because it's not a fruit, he may agree with the Tanakhama of the Mishnah in Shvias.
In other words, the comparison isn't tight.
It's not a tight comparison, correct, because Shvias has more chumas. On Rabbun, Isla Chayri is another factor which indicates that it's not linked. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Shmua. This is, remember I pointed out to you that in our Mishnah it says Rabbi Yeshua said, Shamati. That's in response to Rabbi Elazar, who said that sap is subject to Arla. He said, Shamati, I heard that sap is not subject to Arla. So, no. It means he had a Kabbalah. He heard he had a Kabbalah, whether it's from Sinai or from his Rabbein, whatever it is. So, the Gemara is saying, if he had a Kabbalah and the din of Shemitah was the same exact type of din, then Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shimon, should have also said he had a Kabbalah. There isn't just one Kabbalah. It's a funny kind of argument, but that's what it says over here. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Shmua, he gave it a Shmua, and Rabbi Shimon B'Shem Gamega Amar, when Rabbi Shimon said it, he said it in his own name. In the English, it says at the top, if Rabbi Shimon's ruling is based on Rabbi Yeshua, he too should have cited it as a tradition. Since he denied it, it's unrelated. It's a very funny kind of argument, but anyway. That's strange as I'm saying. Okay, now we're in 15a2. The rest of this page is kind of like, it's a little esoteric. It's not so clear. Let's see if we can figure it out. I had a hard time with this page. Rabbi Yeshua permits cheese curdled with sap of leaves and wood of arla trees. He forbids cheese curdled with the sap of unripe figs because it is a fruit. Okay? So sometimes the thing to focus on is that the sap, that sap of unripe figs is considered a fruit.
Because it comes from a fig, while the other ones don't come from an edible source.
Oh, so now, how do we look at that? The Gemara says, Luma, what did he mean by that? Sraf pri, did he mean that the sap is the actual fruit? That fruit of arla tree is asavano, hence sap of fig tree is asur b'hanah,
because
the
sap
is the fruit. Is that the pshat?
And not the fig.
Ordinate.
Because the fig is not edible yet. If it was a fig, was it?
Right, so,
that's not the case.
Or pagan tree, or perhaps the unripe figs are considered fruit. Okay? 18. Perhaps Rabbi Yeshua does not mean the sap itself is a fruit, but rather, it is a product of a prohibited arla fruit. Okay?
Which is differentiated from sap that comes from
orange juice from an orla orange is asur?
Sure.
Yeah.
So why would this be any different?
We're not. Let's not focus on enough meaning yet. Hold off on the nafkamina. Let's first just learn what the Gemara is after in terms of pshat in the Mishnah. In pshat in the Mishnah, if it's neshuhu pri, is a question here, is what it's referring to. Is neshuhu pri referring to the sap, according to the first Mahalach, or is neshuhu pri referring to the figs?
That's not ripe.
That are not ripe.
Not ripe fruit.
What does it mean here when it says fruit? So now the Gemara says, what is the difference? What's the practical ramification of this question? In Tamer Sraf Pri, if you're going to tell me that the sap itself is the fruit, so then if you'd have the same case, if it was figs at the same stage, which were truma, right? Is it tight? Which were truma, so now you have the same, you have exactly the same thing. It's also came with truma also. Then if it was truma, it would be also because it's the sap is the fruit. But in tamer pagan pri, if you're going to tell me the unripe figs are the fruits, also came with truma mutra, then if it will be true of making uncurdled milk, if you make the curdled milk rather, with the unripe figs of truma, then it will be permitted. Why? Why would that be permitted? Because the difference is, I'm going to speak it out outside first. Remember, there's a basic difference between truma and orla. Truma is mutter b'hanor to azar. Azar is only osir b'achila of truma, but he can benefit from truma. So if you have a sap, which is an extract of a truma fruit, and from that you made the kernel of the milk, that is a hanor that came from truma. But if the sap is the fruit itself, then it would be an isra achila. It would be an isra achila. Correct.
Yes.
That's what the Gemara seems to be saying here. Also came in tamer pagan pri, also came with truma mutar. Lama shahanoyas truma mutara, shahanoyas ala asura. But if it's the other way around, then it would have been awesome, right? So the inquiry stands. It's not. They're not pasha the question. Now, I want to try and come back. Now, let's roll ramp back to your question before about orange juice.
No,
what exactly does orange juice have to do with this?
It's coming from the
pre. Orange juice is for sure a direct totsa of the pre.
It's not sap.
It's not sap. Sap is different.
But the sap of the pagi. Right? It's coming from the pagi.
Oh, you mean in the sense, you think that, so I see, you're saying that it's just like a fruit juice. Like a fruit juice.
It's not right. Inherent because an orange that you can get juice from is edible. The sap that comes from this fig is not edible.
That's the distinction.
Yes. The issue is, if this sap came from an edible fig, then we would look at this totally different. Because it's part of something that's edible. But if the sap comes from an inedible fig, then you have a shaila. Is it like coming from the trunk of the tree? Or is it because it will, if left alone, become a fruit? You call it a fruit now, and it has a dinner of fruit.
Does sap come from only unripe?
Yes.
Nothing from ripe.
Once the tree...
Once the fig ripe is ripe...
Then I don't know if you call it sap anymore, you call it...
Fig juice.
All right.
Is that correct,
Slippy? I don't know. It might be. I can't say for sure. I don't know whether you're right.
Sounds good.
I don't know.
The Gemara doesn't say.
I'm not sure how they.
Fig is not edible. The pagim are not edible. We're saying they're free.
Then no, why is the case? Unripe.
Why
is it unripe? It says it's unripe.
So why does the case have to be a case of an unripe fig? Why does the case have to be a case of an unripe fig? What is the advantage of that in the case? They're not a fig.
Because right now they're not edible. But
I mean, that's a bigger kiddush.
The Gemara does a distinction and say, oh, it's coming from an unripe fig.
But that's why it's choosing an unripe fig.
It's compared.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Mishnah is making a clear distinction here.
Right.
Right? What does it say it over here? Where is it? Oops, I'm not by the Mishnah, that's the problem. I'm not in the right place. It's over here. Yeah. It's all the way back in 14a1. That's where we had it. If one kernel's... I went back to the Mishnah just to pick another pick at it. I'm going to be sure. Shemati beperisham under the sraf ha'olav and sraf ha'ikar mutar. Sraf ha'pagim osir. Neshu pri. 10:11.
Pagim in there is means ripe or
unripe?
No,
unripe.
Pagim by definition.
By definition is unripe.
I mean... it's for sure if it was ripe it would be awesome. I mean, the chiddush of the Mishnah is to compare it to the olive.
Right.
Right? If it's wood, it's the branches, then it's mutter.
Then it's a shot. The shaila is if it's a pre that isn't functioning like a pre yet. It's more like it's
sap. Or Rabbi Yeshua that the distinction
there.
He says Bisafa Pagim Asur Mishum Shu Pri. That's it. Done.
Right.
Because that stage of fruit
is still fruit. It's coming from the fruit.
Yeah.
It's fruit.
Right.
It's coming from the tree.
The Gemara has a question, which is a clear question. Is what he meant that the pagim already are considered fruit, and Mamela. Just like if I'd have a ripe fruit, and if I have orange juice coming out of an orange, that certainly would be usher.
Yeah.
So too, the sap coming out of a fruit is going to also...
Right.
It's going to also... Whether it's ripe, whether it's not ripe, doesn't make a difference. The main thing is it came from a fruit. Is the pshat... This is the Gemara's question. Is the Gemara saying, no, pagan, because they still are not ripe, don't have a classification of fruit,
right.
But they are certainly roy to produce sap, and that sap is considered a pre... That really was the Gemara's question, right? And it's not answered. I don't know. Okay, let's go on. Anukuklos vahachatzanim. So what are anukuklos? So the Gemara says, so b'zeir v'chadron al-banu b'shem rab. It's much like the Gemara. The Gemara says, what does it mean? First, Shita says, these are grapes, anovim, shaloku ad shalohiv yishlish. They haven't grown a third yet, and they got damaged.
They're not going anymore.
That's
it.
No. They were damaged before they reached a third of the growth. They're therefore not subject to netar avoy. Okay. And the machlokes is Amar Rabbi Rabban. No, afilu loku mishay v'yishlish. Even if it's after a third, they are also not subject to netar avoy.
In both of those cases, you see a fruit that doesn't come to its completion. Doesn't necessarily get the title of fruit because they're not chayiv in that derivative.
Right. So in 24 and 25 he goes into explaining these shitas. So in 24 he says that the shita that holds is comparison to ma'aser sheni, just like my ma'aser sheni. In other words, netzar avayim and ma'aser sheni are obviously sisters. Sister mitzvah. So just like over there, he says it loses its sanctity once it deteriorates to the point that it's inedible and not usable for the mitzvah. So too, ravoy loses its sanctity upon being damaged to the point that it's inedible. Right. But orla, on the other hand, is prohibited for benefit. Its prohibition is not linked to eating. So in other words, why is this only ravoy we're talking about, not orla? So that's why.
Isn't that the Ravoy Asabah
Noah? No, of course not. No. Netzer Ravoy, you take the Yerushalayim and you eat it there. Netzer Ravoy is just like Ma'aser Sheni. Think about Netzer Ravoy as just a sister of Ma'aser Sheni. Okay, now, Rav says no. Rav's qualification is explained by Derech Emunah, Bir Halacha, as follows. Although a grape is considered a fruit upon reaching the Boser stage, which is, you know, Boser is when it's like...
less than a third.
The size of a white bean, I think, is Boser, right?
Right.
it is only upon reaching a third of its growth, the tithing stage, that it is deemed food. Okay, so you have a shem pri, and you have a shem ochel. Keep track of these terminologies. They're important. Thus, when the grapes are damaged before reaching the stage of ochel, they never become a food, and they can be used in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. That can be used in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So they lose their ravoi sanctity. Once, however, they reach a third of their growth, and they're an ochel, they do not lose that status upon becoming damaged and not fit for human consumption. They remain a food. Since they remain a food, they retain their ravoi sanctity, although they're no longer edible. So it's an interesting thing. In other words, it's possible for to be a shem ochel, and although it's damaged, it still retains that shem ochel.
So you can be podet?
Yeah.
Because you can't, I guess you can't reverse that stage, meaning the minute that it hits the third,
I misspoke, Sweet. Just one second. Well, let me review what we're talking about here. Let's go back. What we're talking about here. What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, I didn't review the Mishnah, so I'm losing it. Hold just one second. Let me go back to where it says this statement in the Mishnah. So on your Dalet Amud Aleph, it says, it's Mishnah Ches. It says, Anakluklos v'chatzan v'azak v'atem v'atsholahem v'kibirim v'neshalahem v'kibirim v'kibirim. It says, Asurim v'orlo u'v'ashera. They're usher for orlo. But it's mutarim b'rvoi. Right? They're mutter. They're mutter in rabbi. Now, we're having a makloikas now. Is this Anakluklos? Did this damage happen after they reached the third or before they reached the third? So now let's talk about this last sheet that we just said. If it got damaged after it reached the third, let's talk about within the context of this machlokas. So the first sheet that said these are talking about unclosed before they reached the third. But if it got damaged after it reached the third, once it got the Shem Ochel, it retained its Shem Ochel, and therefore it would be subject to Ravoi. The second sheet that says no. Even if it reached a third and then became damaged, it's no longer subject to Ravoi. That's what it's saying here. It's Ravoi Mutter, right?
Why is it subject to Arla?
But it's still subject to Arla, because Arla is a din in the pre, not a din in the Ochel. That was the whole explanation over here that he had.
So it's called the pre because it reached a third.
Or even before it reached the third. Both are.
Right.
It didn't reach the third.
That's the whole.
So
that's the whole point.
It's not high yet, but it's considered a pre.
Good.
All right.
Very complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on. I'm Rav Chiya bar Ada. Lashon Nutri Kunhu. That they're not close is a combination of three different words. The ayin nun stands for an indin. Those are grapes, right? The kuklo part of it stands for the lucky, means they were damaged. And then the final part is titlahom. The tough stands for titlahom, the third.
So when somebody calls somebody else a kook, what they're saying is you're damaged.
Right. Very good. Kook stands for damage. A cuckoo head is a person with a damaged head. Absolutely. So there's a question exactly what this is coming to tell us. This could be viewed in three different ways, this statement of the Gemara. The Gemara could mean that it's saying that it's like the first sheet, and it's telling me that it was damaged before it reached the third. It could mean it's saying like the second sheet of the Gemara, it's telling me that it was damaged once it reached the third. Or it could be saying that it could be either shita. It's not coming to me either way. These are three ways to learn the Gemara. Okay. The B.I.C. says, Naitin Yichar, you can plant a branch, but you cannot plant a nut of Arla. Because nut is a fruit. And you can't graft a branch with kanafios of Arla. Right?
So the nut of the Arla is considered Arla if you plant it.
Okay. So let's see what happens. So Gemara's going to talk about this. Amar Biyakarun. Avavanata, if you were over and you planted the nut, mutter, the resulting tree, is permitted. Okay?
How's that possible?
Here's our favorite statement. Zevazegorim is mutter. It comes
which
in
is
the,
not the Kulei Alma.
Which is not the Kulei Alma, but halacha, that's why he's explaining it.
Right.
Yeah. Number 30. In other words, the nut is derived, the fruit is derived not just from the nut, but it's driving nourishment. As a tree grows, obviously, it's driving nourishment from the surrounding ground and nutrients that is coming out of the ground, as well as the original nut.
So do you have to count 3 years of Arla because now it's a brand new plant?
Absolutely.
Of course.
That's for sure.
So what's the real question then?
L'chachila. L'chachila, you're not allowed to. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to plant it.
Oh.
But if you did, right?
Because that was a garum. That's what they explain here on the bottom from Bi'akim. Okay? Now we're on the base. That's why I'm on the base. Over Vihirkif, but if you were over on the Mishnah's prohibition against grafting, then also it's prohibited. You don't have the svara. The problem is that here you're dealing with, when I plant a nut, the nut disintegrates into the ground and it produces a new tree, right? When we're talking about something which has already dates on it, they've already started to develop as dates of Arla. Subsequently, just because they start to grow, remember we had the rule, Ein Hagidulin Rabin Al Ha'ikar Lahatirai. That was the rule that he always had. That's what Gekman's famous rule. So it's not going to help. Ego Sha Arla Shinata'o. The chain, beitzas.
Weren't we just talking about that? What was that nut that we planted before?
Orla.
So what is this one?
It's the same thing.
Oh, it's a different
opinion. Let's learn the Gemara a little bit. Let's see what happens. Egos shal orla shenatol. The Gemara cites the opinion. Let's do the Hakdama. The Gemara cites the opinion of other Amoraim concerning the status of a tree that developed from an Arla nut. So we're going to have other opinions. All right. Ego shal Arla shenatol. So you have the same case. You have the nut that you planted of Arla. V'chein beitas avodah zarah. If I have an egg that was asur because of avodah zarah, and the Gemara is going to go into detail as to how did it become asur as avodah zarah, but it was, okay, just accept it, that it's asur b'hanah as avodah zarah. Shinas is a frog, and then the egg develops, it hatches into a chick. So do I have a walking, talking avodah zarah now? Right? Maybe it can't wake up to the cock-a-doodle-doo of this rooster, right? So Reb Chai gave a shame of Yosha. What does he say? He says, it's balgun chizki of a kana. There's a machlokes between chizki and kana, what the din is. Kahana omar muteres, chizki omar asura. We have two shitas. And there's a line of footnotes that explain these shittas. It's really kedai to see what they say. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's very negaya. It's very negaya to understand these shittas. So let's first start with Kahana, who says it's mutter. So let's see number three. So it says he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Excuse me. That if you planted the nut, that the tree is subsequently mutter, and you could say that it's zevzeg garim, right? But the chicken is not going to work out because the chicken is not. You can't say zevzeg garim on a chicken because the chicken is it's a package. You have a package of Isser contained in a shell, which is completely not deriving anything from anywhere except its health.
How does it
Is Kahana saying this lechatchila or?
It just develops. Develops.
Without.
I'm sorry. One second.
Without anybody sitting on it.
It could be sitting on it, but that's not called. That's not called zevzeg garim. No. What did you say? See, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Is Kahana saying that it's mutter l'chatchila to plant this?
No. No, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. It sounds, I have to say that probably he's going with the Eved. So far, I don't think anybody's saying with l'chatchila.
Yeah. It says the number 3 after the fact.
Yeah, it's after the fact.
I saw it.
That in the zoo also, incubator.
The check cannot be permitted for that reason, for it's the product only of a forbidden source, the egg. It is permitted, now here's the svaras, either because the egg itself is not prohibited for benefit as an egg of Avodah Zarah, meaning that maybe the egg is not really an Isser Avodah Zarah, or because live animals do not become, it's a machlokes, because apparently there's a gemara in a Bavli of Avodah Zarah that seems to say that Bala Chaim don't become also Avodah Zarah, or because, as the gemara is going to say later, I'm going to spoiler alert here. The Gemara is going to end up saying, the Gemara asks the question, how's a child for it to become Avodah Zarah? There's a din by Takruvas Avodah Zarah that the only time Takruvas Avodah Zarah is usur is it's something that is Nikra Bafnim in the Beis HaMikdash. So if you're makrev meat in front of Avodah Zarah, the meat becomes usur because we do that in the Beis HaMikdash. If you makrev an egg to Avodah Zarah, there's no hakrov of an egg in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that Takruvas is not usur. That's a rule. So the Gemara asks, the house and shrine for this egg to become Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara ends up with a really funny teretz.
It's a chicken that has an egg inside of it.
It's a wall, which develops a hole in the wall, which is the size of an egg. You take the egg, you stick it in the hole in the wall, and then it becomes part of the wall. And that it like loses its shem egg, now it becomes part of the wall, so it becomes also Avodah Zarah.
It's a funny teretz.
But
it can't be Takrovis of Avodah Zarah?
I just explained why it cannot be Takrovis.
I didn't
Takrovis is only something which is Nikra Bifnim by Yisrael.
Oh.
So it has to be in the Beis HaMikdash Ke'ein Zeh. So Basar is Nikra, but there's no Takrovis Beitzim in the Beis HaMikdash.
Are there Takrovis
chickens?
No.
Chickens? Well, I don't know. Once you get to the meat stage, yeah, they're birds. Yeah. Doesn't matter. It's not a takrovis. Okay, let's go on.
Next, the slugging kaparas.
You
maybe.
You using chickens?
No, I'm saying people do it. It's a connection.
Yeah, maybe it's a takrovis. Okay, let's go.
What if you have a city that is full of Avodah Zarah? Say everything in it is usur.
No.
Including a chicken?
No. No.
No?
No. Kahana maintains, the Gemara's teaching, live animals can never be prohibited as idols and their ancillaries. Hence, once the Avodah Zarah egg develops into a live chick, the Avodah Zarah prohibition is depart from it. Okay? In other words, even if it was also he's explaining Chizkiya. So we have an Avodah Zarah egg, but once it develops into a chicken, so then now it's a new shame, it's like Parm Chadashas Molokan. And so the Issa Avodah Zarah just departs from it. Because it's a live animal now. Live animals don't get the shame of Avodah Zarah. So that would be Kahana. Now Chizkiya on note 4, here we have to look at note 4, he says although the tree sprouts and the chick forms, they are still considered to have derived from a forbidden product. Okay, so they were like created from Isser, and therefore they're Osir. Also, he holds Zev Zagarim is also, as you mentioned. Now, concerning the chick, you have to say the egg is indeed forbidden as Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara will immediately explain, and that although the Avodah Zarah prohibition cannot take effect on a live animal, which he agrees with as well, but once it took effect on the egg, the prohibition will remain in effect even after it develops into a chicken. In other words, he doesn't hold from that svar that once it emerges as a chicken, it's like Panam Kadoshas, and the Isser falls off. He also knows, since it started as Isser and developed into something, it's going to remain Isser. That's going to be the Svar. Okay, so we have all kinds of raid here explaining the reasons behind these two statements. So if Kahana says Mutaras, Chizkiya says Asatura, once again, Kana says it's mutter because it's Zavzeg Garm is mutter, or because it's a dover which is a Baal Chai, and not something that's a Baal Chai, never becomes an Osir. And Chizkiya doesn't hold Zavzeg Garm is mutter, so therefore he holds it's Osir. Or he doesn't hold from that Svar that once it becomes Osir, it will automatically become mutter once it becomes a Baal Chai. That's going to be the Svar.
Maybe he holds the Baal Chai can become Osir.
That is not suggested anywhere so far. So far, that has not been suggested. That apparently is a Dover Mekubal. Because again, these are Amoroyim, and that I think is a drasha. I'll dive to the Chizkiya Hechash of the basis of a Dizorot Shnas Nefayach. The Gemara now is going to ask the basic question, which is according to Chizkiya, it's really a question according to both, according to everybody. How is it possible for them to become Mutter? Manakayim become Aser as of a Dizor. Man, we come in Imbishep Pesacha. If you went ahead and you smashed the egg in front of the idol, so ain't kind of freyach, you're not going to get a little chick out of that because guess what? There's no more egg. Imishek nisalif nimam nanakankalin, and if you brought it as an avarizara, as a takrovis inside the room, also chameh, come and see, ilo hishtachavo lo osra, if you bow down to it, it doesn't become osr, imneshek nisalif nimam nanakankalin asara, and because you bring it in to the room, it will become osir. If you're bowing down to it, doesn't make it osir, then just bringing it back of it as takrovis will also not make it osir. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yudon, avoid your gut asa. Tiftov shogar b'avod Israel. You prepared a fence, as we said before."
Oh, so the footnote brings the machlokas. Yad Adam is nester or not. Rav Yochanan says that it would be osir even if there's no change, even metaltalin. You know, only karka is pater. Only karka of kubala karka. That's what he brings.
Yeah. Chizkiya maintains, since doing so, the egg has been altered from an egg and become a section of the wall. That's called affected by a person. Right.
Right, that. But I'm saying, if you, you bring the Gemara over to Zara,
yeah.
Both in the Babli and Yerushalmi, that anything that's karka or mechubala karka, right,
mm-hmm.
is not netzar.
Right, if it's... That's
okay.
Right, but with metaltalin,
yeah.
He says if it's not changed, so then it's not netzar. That's how he holds. But Rabbi Yochanan says that even if it's not changed, it's asur.
Mm-hmm.
Davar atalush, right? Without tfisas yad ada, meaning that it's not changed, he says that it's still asur. I don't know. So it's a machlokas, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Good to know.
So now the Gemara goes weiter. Beitzas Hektish. So now let's talk about a different case. Instead of starting off with the Beitza being of a Dezara, let's make it the other way. Let's make it holy. It's part of Hektish. Right? So that, and then a Hektish egg becomes
a chick.
A holy roller. Right? On Rabbi Yossa, so you bought Kahana Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Machlokes, Kahana Amo Aser. Here, notice the name, Kahana said before what?
Mutter.
He said by Vanazar, he said Muteris. Now over here by Hektish, he's saying it's Asura. Very interesting, right? Rabbi Yochanan Amo Muteris, Rabbi Yochanan says it's Mutter. So Amar, let's see, does he explain this yet? Not yet, he's going to. So the Gemara says, Amar Abzeir al Rabbi Yasa, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Muteris. This that Rabbi Yochanan said that it's mutter, he's going to qualify it. Of who, that's going to only be true. Poto osav is man. Not he's going to agree to one aspect of it. Poto osav is man zara. He will. Let's see. We have two cases here. We have. One second. Yeah. No, never mind. I was getting myself with something else. Yeah, so you have two values. You can start at the time that it was an egg, right? So it was an egg, let's say it was worth 25 cents for one egg, let's say. I'm making up a number.
Now.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So it's 20, it was worth a quarter when it was an egg. Now it develops into a chicken, it's worth $5, right? So now it's Hektish. Now I want to be poured it from Hektish.
25 cents.
So do I use 25 cents or do I use $5? What do I use? So Rabbi Yochanan said it's muteris, that it's mutter. What he meant by mutter was
that
you could be podet. But the pdia would happen at the zman zora, the time of the planting, meaning the time that it would it became hektish, which is when it became.
Based on what? When you're being pointed.
Right. That's what he's saying over here.
There's a price fluctuation of the same item.
So the reason why he uses zriya here is because he says that there's a mission in trumas. When you plant seeds of hektish and it grows into a plant, and you want to be poted, you pot it at the price of the seed at the time of the planting. That's why he's using that same language. So he's borrowing from Tamura, and he's saying that just like by seeds of hektish, we use the zman of the zriya, the cost of the seeds, so too by the egg, by the chick, you use the price of the egg rather than the full price of the chicken. That's what he's saying.
Even though you're being told of the chicken.
So, in other words, when you read the Gemara, you could read it. In other words, before we read his whole explanation, before we read the Gemara, what I would have said was like this. We had a case where you have a chicken, you have an egg of hektish, and it develops into a chicken. So, muteris, you're telling me it's muteris. Muteris means it's not hektish. That's how I could interpret what he meant. That's mechlal, not hektish. It's ponim kadosh es bol kan. I don't know. I mean, it's which would be really strange. Why all of a sudden he hektish buck of fdi for it to just go off with nothing? Whatever.
It's the wrong word, muteris.
So muteris means it's basically mutter, but there's a small pigment that has to take place, and that is based on the value of the egg. That's what this Reb Zeiro is telling Reb Yossi. Chor Reb Yechon Amu muteris. Ulfhu what paida is of his manzar. He also agrees.
The same idea with the wheat and the seed. In other words, it's a bria chadasha.
Yeah, it's like it disintegrated, right? The thing, that's the point. The thing that was here before, which was the seed, has disintegrated. It's no longer ba'olam. Now I have a new thing. I have a plant. The egg is gone. The inside, the egg yolk with the white, that's all gone. Now we have a chicken.
Let's review for a second. Yeah. So if you have drawing of hektish,
yeah,
that create a plant. The plant is not hektish?
The plant is mutter if you pode it and you pay the value of the seed.
Okay, but otherwise it's hektish.
Yes.
Even though it's gone. The drawing are gone.
That's
right?
True.
It's a new bria. So
that's
that doesn't
true.
Work. Now, let's go back to Truma for a second. If you take Zroim Shel Truma,
it's a Din Drabbanan. You do like Truma.
Oh, it's only Drabbanan?
It's a Drabbanan, yeah.
Oh, so Minatora is...
Minatora was no problem at all.
I remember there
it's because the Chacham were afraid you're going to keep Truma and plant it and you won't give us other coin. It's a Din Drabbanan.
Oh, so what's the difference?
What's the difference between what and what?
Between Hekdesh and Truma. Why would it be the same thing?
You don't just supply all denim across the board. Truma you have in a home. Hektish is hektish. I mean,
yeah, but I'm saying you might do something. Right?
Okay, it's not in your home. It's in Rishus Hektish, or it's not something which is, you know.
It's not yours. So the truma.
I don't have to worry about why there are vulnerable guys or sometimes and not now. That doesn't bother me. Next year. You'll worry about it next year. Okay. So, let's follow along here. So that's the first sheet. So he's explaining Rabbi Yochanan. And now the next person, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yoina, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Shem Kahana, now they're going to explain Rabbi Kahana, because remember, Kahana said that they were Osir. So he says, Poda Osir was Manzara. Guess what? He also only meant that you had to be poted according to the value that it was worth at the time it was planted.
The same as Rabbi Yochanan.
Well, it comes out as saying the same thing.
And one says it's us and one says it's mutter.
It depends. Is the cup half full or is it half empty? How do you look at this? In other words, when I see a chicken, I see a mutaris chicken. You see the chicken as an osir chicken. How do you look at it? So,
the Gemara is going to
say. Now, without asking the question, the English speaks out the question. I'm not going to read the English. We just said the question. So, on 15b3, it says, the Gemara replies, Shokananya, the Shem of Pimchas Misak Tanta. So, he went ahead and he fixed this up. In other words, there's something wrong here. we're not quoting something. Something's not right here, because you can't have them both saying the same thing. Kahana Amar Asura Upoto Osa Kamoshahi. This is what Kahana said. As a chick, you have to pay full price, the $5 you have to pay to be part of the whole chicken. Okay? Rav Yechanan says, Muteras Upoto Osa Mzmanzara, that Rav Yechanan was taka, you pay according to the value of the seed of the egg. Okay? Chajmalach on the table is Yog. So that's the end of the parak, and we'll start the new parak. Are we good? Sri?
Question.
Hadron Lachan, Matea, let's
go. Question. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Now we have a Gainish question from Rav Tovid. Which comes first? That is a good question.
The answer is the chicken.
I think the chicken came first, yeah.
God created chickens, not eggs.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, now we're changing topics a little bit. Now we're going to talk a little bit about Taruvus. So you're a deus, so you're really... Okay, so let's see what it says. It's going to be a list of things which are all like Truma. So you have Truma, Trumas Meister, Shaldamai, Chala, Bikurin. All these have one Sat HaShoveh, Oilevech HaRameah. They all have the shear that you have to have 100 to 1 to be Mevatel them. Because remember, we said... that Orla, Chala and Bikurim and Truma all are called Truma. Truma is Yad called Truma. Truma. They all call Truma in the Torah someplace. So therefore, they all have the same din. Umisraf and Zemza, and they also...
If they mix with something, the Shogay, they don't want it on.
Yes. And
Umisraf...
Yeah, well, that's okay. He wants to say his din. It's fine. And then Mustafa. In other words, if you have a half a kav of Truma, a half a kav of Mikurim, then Mustafa to make it require 101, right? The Tzarkel Harim, and the same thing is true, that even after it falls into a Taruvus, even if it's bottle, even if it's 100, right? You have to take out what fell into it.
The Issa part.
You have to take out what fell in there.
So it's Min Bimino?
It's Min Bimino. That's correct. We're talking about Min Bimino. They speak that.
Oh, what do you mean? You have to take it out? How do you know what it is?
You may remit. In other words, you don't know what it is. But you take it out of the Taruvus, and you say, you give it to the Kohen. You say that this is, as a Tashlamin. You're right. You can't know for sure. But it's bottle, so you don't have to worry about it, right?
No. I thought you have to take out if it's an ounce or
I'm just telling you that this case, Tzarkel Harim, is telling me that even if it's bottle in 101, in which case the Taruvus is basically mutter, I still have a din that I have to be meirimit to give to the Kohen, the Mummy Kohen. Yeah. Now, when it comes to Orla, there's a different shear. Orla and Klayim have a shear of what? 1 in 200. Orla Be'achad Masayim, 200. Again, all these shearim are Darabonon, Min HaTorah, Min Mimino, B'Yavesh. It's Rove. That's all you need. Umistarf and Zamzat. Then Umistarf one with the other. Same idea. But Ein Asaf Laharim here, you don't have to be Meirman. Obviously, there's nobody to give it to.
Is there an underlying?
Why the Chacham decided to make 1 200 versus 1 100?
Yeah,
because
they were
one is Asavah Noah,
and one is not
Asavah Noah.
No, because they wanted to know how they figured it out.
No, I'm saying 200. The reason why they were machmer by Arlen by Akam is because it's Asavah Noah. That's what I want. I think that's the reason. I think the Rambam speaks this out in Machalas Tosafot.
What did
you say?
That they tried it out.
Why can't they be?
They tried what out?
How did they get 1 to 100?
They made it up.
They didn't make it up.
What do you mean? What do you mean they tried it? They tried what out?
They tasted it?
They had a kvela, yeah.
What? The Tom is buffalo in 1/60th. Tom is 1/60th always.
How do you know?
What do you mean? Baka b'chola.
How do you know that it's 160? How do they know that it's 160? Maybe it's 150.
You
have, like you said,
that's what I'm saying.
That's where 160th came from. But Poya Karam is just a Tom.
It's not a Tom thing. It's just that you don't know which
you
one
have,
is
you
which.
You have more.
You
all right, whatever. It's dry, so it's not Tom. Yeah. Reb Shimon says, Ein mitzarfen, they are not mitzarf. In other words, Orla and Poya Karam do not combine. Reb Shimon is not quite looked on the ratio of the Mishnah. I think they speak that out, it says over here.
The
Gemara will explain that Rav Shimon disagrees only with regard to Arlan Kli HaKarev, not with regard to the Truma items in the beginning of the Mishnah. Footnote 11. All right, so the Gemara felt it was necessary to speak it out. I mean, sometimes you could have a sheet that's saying, Enim is Safran, and it's going on the whole ratio. So the Gemara says that's not the case. Rav Eliezer Omer, Mestarfen Menoisin Tom, but if it's liquid, then it would be what? Tali in Tom, which is not the shiurim we mentioned. It would be 60th, right? It's only in the case of a dry, right? That's when you don't have a Tom. Of a low lesser, they do not combine to prohibit a dry mixture. 12.
You don't use Tom in general. It's only violet.
Yeah. Okay.
Why is Tom only by liquid?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's a very interesting, I like this shot. In the box on the bottom, it says that there's a Reuven Malki Tzedek who says an entirely different approach to Rav Lezer's dispute with Tanakama is like this. When the Tanakama said that all the Inquiry can combine, it meant two things. One, they combine to Asura Taruvus in which they fall. And two, if you eat a half a kazayas of oral and a half a kazayas of Kli HaKarem, they make him liable to lashes. Very interesting shot. So Rav Eliezer then would say that while he agrees with the first ruling that they are mistarfed for a mixture, but that's what he meant by mistarf from the Noisin Tam. But when he says, of a low lesser, but not to create an isser, if you eat a half a kazayas of each, so, which is an interesting shot. It's a little bit of a shot that anyone would hold two Isurim that are of different names would even start to be from Malkus. Anyway, whatever. It's an interesting shot. A Truma Trumas Meiser. So what does it say? Lamin Istracha. Who do I have to say this according to which Shita? The Gemara speaks out on the base. Reb Shimon. That's Reb Shimon's Shita. I'm going to say this in a second. Shimon says in the latter part that what the Orla and Koya Kerem that what they are not mistarf, right? That's what we spoke out. Moedesh or Kulhem, the Shem Truma mistarfin. Anything which has the Shem Truma, that's why he doesn't disagree with the Resha. Because they all are called Truma. So when they all have the same shame, they can be mistarf. Masha Enke, when it comes to Orla and Koya Kerem, those are two completely different shamas. Okay? The Gemara says, "Mantam Shumas Meiser Shol Demai." Now, take a look at it. It says in the Mishnah.
That's the second one on the list.
The Mishnah spoke it. All right, well, yeah. Just something to just make note of right now, just for your, It says Truma and Shumas Meiser of Demai.
Right.
Why did it speak out Demai? It could have said Truma, Trumas Meiser, Kala, and Bikorin. Just leave out Demai. What is it throwing in Demai for? Right.
The second paragraph in number two explains it.
Number two of what?
In the Mishnah.
In the Mishnah?
Yeah. Number two in the Mishnah, it explains it.
Our Mishnah, second paragraph, this is on 16a1. Second paragraph 2. Our Mishnah mentions only Trumas Meiser of Demai, not Trumas Meiser, regular, to highlight that even in the case of Trumas Meiser of Demai, which is Drabonin, you still need 100 to 1 nullification. And it's partial regular, you would need. Certainly. Okay. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say like this, right? Man tana trumas meiser shavamai. Who said that they even need to forbid the of a drabanan? You need 100 to 1. Rav Meir machmer the reim because the Torah. He is machmer. Ha'ashkhan Rav Meir the machmer the Torah. Where do we find that he's machmer? Amar panina ha'idatanin hamon ha'reya kesem. This is talking about a woman. You all know the din. I don't have to go over the din, but I'll go over briefly. The din is that by a woman who is reya dam. Min ha'tayra, the only time dam is matami by an isha is if she has a hargosha, right? So therefore, the kesem, which is just a stain that she sees, but she didn't have a hargosha, so that's really din drabanan that it causes problems. So therefore, the rabbanan put a limit on that shear. The limit that they put on that shear is that's only going to be matami if it's a shear which is more than a kagris. A gris. It has to be a certain size. Well, in modern terminology, the place can like to use a dime, as I'm sure you're all familiar. But if it's less than that, they're assuming that it's a louse. Is that the word? You can say a louse. Okay. Now, let's suppose...
In the time they borrowed with the louse, now they just...
It would have to be something else.
Probably not
allowed. Yeah. Okay. So now, let's see. Which is this case? This is the case. Rameir. Let me make sure I got this right. Yeah. So Rameir says, this is number 5. If she were... One more thing. Remember that there's the 7-11 pattern, right? A woman, when she sees dam the first time, she becomes a nida. She can be right 7 days in a row. If she stops seeing the dam on the 7th day, she's posek, and she's tavel miyad, and she mutzer to her baila and min hatara that night. If she's raya on day 8, she becomes a shemaris yom keneged yom. If she sees 3 days in a row, 8, 9, 10, she becomes a Zavah Gedoyla. She has to be a Sheva Sazayin Nekiyim. Yeah? That's the rule. So, if she's a Sofik, which it'd be the case if she saw a Kesem, which was the size of 3 Grisim, right? So it's 3 times, 3 dimes. On 10. On 10, she sees a stain which was the size of 3 grisim. So then, Rav Meir is machmer, and he holds that she's asura. Because he's, even though this is only Isser Kesem, which is drabanan, Rav Meir is machmer by an Isser drabanan in Suffolk. That's what it says over here. Look at 5. If a woman wore a garment on 3 consecutive days during her 11-day potential zivah period, and afterwards she found a blood stain larger than 3 grist, there's a possibility that this is accumulation of 3 separate grist plus charges that occurred on each of the days, and she has to consider herself a possible zava, and she needs shivanakiyam. Okay? So...
Oh, what we're saying is that they could have come from 3 days.
They could have come from day 1, 2, and 3 of the 8, 9, 10, right?
Yeah.
And Mamela, she's a zava gadola. So she has to be a Shem Sazayin Nekiyim. Yeah? So that's what it's saying. That's what it's saying over here. The Kitzur, that's what the Gemara is at the top quoting. Haraya Kesem. Harizim will kukel us. She doesn't know how to calculate the days. Because Sheshes Mishim Zovo. Direi Rebeya, that's a Meir Shita. Ha'amonim, Emiksam Mishim Zovo. No. This is a Suffolk, and since it's a Drabonon, you don't have to be worried about it, right? 6. The sages hold, since there's no evidence that it was discharged, she can make the lenient assumption that it was discharged on 1 or 2 days. It could be she saw it on day 8. It could be she saw it on day 8 and day 9. But to say that you have to be worried, maybe she saw 1 on 8, 1 on 9, and 1 on 10, that you don't have to be chashish. So that's the chachamim.
So
Rav Meir is machmir there, so he's machmir here also, that my truest ma'aser shel demai, you have to you require the same din of Meir of Echad to Mevatalot. That's the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, okay. Next, Rabbi Yonah Bai, Loma Lasinu Chalas Demai. In the Mishnah, it says Truma and Truma's Maisa Shal Demai. Then it says Chala. What about Chala Demai? What's the rule with Chala Demai? In other words, we're going to talk about this. The Gemara answers, begin the Snina Chala Lo Nisni Chalas Demai. We learn in the Mishnah the case of definite Chala. Do we not also have to learn the case of Chala of Demai? Right? Ten. For it's self-understood, the same laws apply.
Another question.
In other words, the Gemara is kind of answering it, right? What if I said Chala, that obviously would include Chala of Demai also, because what's the difference? So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question.
Yeah, well,
what about Tumas Meiser?
Yeah.
Gemara that Hatin on Tumas Meiser Shal Demai. But when it came to Tumas Meiser, you said the Demai side. In other words, you be consistent. You should have said Tumas Meiser Shal Demai and Chalas Demai, and then I would have known, just like you read the Kalvachimer from Tumas Meiser Demai to Tumas Meiser Regular, I would have made the same Kalvachimer from Chalas Demai to Chala Regular.
Right.
What's going on over here?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. Now, the point here is there is a whole Shmuz here in 13, and what he's just, I'm sorry.
No,
that's the next one.
Yeah.
Let me wait till the Gemara. The Gemara here assumed that there was a din of Chalas, the Mai. Now, the Gemara is now going to talk about it. Achnani B'Shem Shmuel, the Mai Tzara Chala. He made a statement that the Mai requires Chala separation. Now, this is a big Kiddush. Because remember, we've always spoke out when we were learning the Mai. We said that there was no din of Truma by the Mai. Why wasn't there a din of Truma by the Mai?
Because Truma Gula, they're Makbid.
Why were they Makbid?
Because
it's Chai Vise de Shemayim. Correct. What's the din by Chala?
Same thing.
So the question is, if there's no din of Demai by Truma, why would there be a din of Demai by Chala? That's the basic question on the table. Right? This is a very, very fundamental question. Right? So 13, he asks, he says, second paragraph, some answer. Although there was indeed no logical reason to differentiate between Truma Gadol and Chala, nevertheless, this was the situation. In other words, we can't try and kasha stuff on Maisa. It happened to be the Amarasim of the day. We're not Makbid on Chala. I mean, whatever the reason is, that's one way of putting it. Another way of putting it is that although they knew the basic rule, but they didn't know necessarily the halachas of Chala so well. So they would say, you know what, the Amarasim would make little Chalas less than this year. And then they would put them all together in a basket, and they wouldn't realize that the basket is mitzarif them, and they're chayv and chala. So, because they weren't familiar with the halachas, so therefore, the chachamim were machmer when it came to chalas demai. Okay? That's what he says on the bottom. Okay. Let's go on. Omale Rebkina bar Luliva, Naitil hu dama ben hashevet. Can he take money from the Kohanim? In other words, if it's, let's see here, why would I be able to take money? Because it's a Mosav Kavel of Haraya, right? Whenever something is Demai, it's only, like, so let's take the case of the classic Demai, which is Meiser. So Meiser of Demai, that for sure, we've said many times, you're the Levi, you're coming to me, you say, give me the Meiser. I say, how do you know that it's Meiser? Maybe he took Meiser. Prove to me that this really was key of Meiser. I took off Meiser because Chachamim told me that. But how do you know about Meiser? You want it? Pay for it. That's the din by Meiser. What about over here? What about Bechala? Can you take? Should be the same din, right? Why should there be a difference? Because only the Kohen can eat it. See, by Meiser, I can eat the Meiser. Because Meiser is much of the Tzar. But Chala, I can't eat it. I got to give it to the Kohen. So maybe it's a little different.
Or maybe you can get money for it.
So the Gemara answers on the way, he says, yeah, You can, no problem. Just like you say what's going to be Varaya, by Maisa you say the same thing. Now over here it says, most Rishonim are the opinion that although Trumas Maisa or Demai is similarly a designation based on doubt, you nevertheless give it to a Kohen without receiving money in exchange. In other words...
Because it's Mamon Shevet or what?
Yeah, that's a question. In other words, why is Meiser Shane... why is Trumas Meiser, I'm sorry, why is Trumas Meiser different than this? So some explain that since the 1% of the total amount of separators, Trumas Meiser is a scriptural measure. In other words, we know what that measure is. It's 10% of the 10%, which is 1%. So we know that amount, so they had to be strict because we knew it was an exact amount. But truma is kika achas poteris zakri, and chal also is one you know less a kizayis is plate there, whatever the whole dough amount. The 1/24th is a sheer drabanan. So therefore, it's not a great loss, and therefore maybe you would have to pay for the money. That's what it says. Okay. The money b'shem Rabbi Yosi says no. Ain't no nothing. The money b'shem you don't pay for it. Lamarcha maybe it's bad. I'm a demai who can at least only metal domen. He says no. He's exempt rabbanon. Today you're going to charge, and tomorrow you'll bring your regular challah and you'll tell the kohen you know that this is really challah demai, but it really isn't, and then you'll end up charging money for any challah. And therefore we don't want to encourage that behavior, and therefore it's awesome. That's where we're going to stop today. We'll continue with Hashem and Yizayin tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a fast day. Maybe I'm going to finish that.